Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Heavenly Father, how we thank you, we praise you for this day. We pray that by the Holy Spirit you'd help us understand the value of this day. That in this day you've promised to bless us. You've promised to encourage us. You've promised to draw us near. You've promised to walk with us and to be with us, to fellowship with us. Father, you've brought us into this day, into this place, not just to occupy ourselves and wait for the bus, wait for you to come, but Father, for our lives to be filled with blessing, our lives to be filled with opportunity, and our eyes to be open and ears to be cleared so we can hear. Father, we just thank you for this time we have together. We pray for the many needs around us and just ask, Lord, you would help us to be, to shine more brightly, to let our lights shine in this world of such great darkness and misery. Father, we thank you this time as we look to you now and ask your blessing on your word through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. I'd like to begin this morning by turning to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I think for the sake of time, I really just want to make out this one point out of this. Just verse 4, or primarily verse 4. Speaking, Peter speaking and reviewing how God has blessed believers. Let me read verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're going to be turning to Hebrews chapter 11, which we know is kind of the faith chapter. But in this verse, Peter points out something, and we talk about it. We do talk about it, but I think a clarification and an important aspect of what Peter is saying here that I don't believe I've ever emphasized before, though I've realized it, I haven't really emphasized it. But generally, the way you said it is that there's these bubbles, again, like kind of like a video game or whatever, of mercy, that if we don't reach out and touch them, they pop and receive that mercy. If we don't reach out and claim them and believe them, we don't receive those gifts. We don't receive that bit of mercy, that blessing, whatever that might contain. And so Peter here says, again, according as his divine power hath given us all things. God has literally given us everything. All things that pertain unto life. What things pertain to your life? I'm going through our annual training at work, and there's certain rights that are to be granted to those that are under our care. And it names these basic things such as water, air, food, shelter, basics that are rights that are given that we have to supply and protect. But how many people in the world do we know that, you know, most have air, a lot don't have water, or maybe have too much water or unclean water. A lot do not have adequate shelter. And many, many, many do not have food. God has promised here that he has given according as his divine power. And how much credibility and how much you believe in the divine power of God, but in his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So when any we would find ourselves or hear others say, well, you know, God hasn't given me that, wrong. I'm lacking because God doesn't care, wrong. But he's given all these things through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is become all things to us. Yet there are people that will go to the grave without salvation. What happened there? I was talking with a brother on the phone last night, and he was talking about someone in his family got into this doctrine where that there is no such thing as hell. Everybody's going to heaven. They just don't realize it. But there, this ongoing thing about there would be no such thing as hell. And I said, well, you know, then Jesus was a liar. And God's a liar. And Scripture's not true. But what a surprise some people will have who don't believe. Say, well, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. Oh, if I go in church, I'm going to burst into flames. All these excuses, if you would, that people embrace those as true, and in so doing, they miss out on the blessings that God has provided and given us through Christ our Lord and Savior. He's made all things to us. Everything that pertains to everything that's important. Life and godliness. Forever. Those are the two most important things. Life and godliness. And everything that pertains, has anything to do with those things, are given to us in Christ. But so then why are we at times lacking in those blessings and that joy, that peace, that comfort? Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us, that through Christ, are given us exceeding great and precious promises. How many promises have people given you or have you received in your life that did not pan out? How many times have people promised this or promised that? And they were not able to cause those promises to come true. God's promises never fail. They're given to us exceeding, far above anything, the things that we could possibly imagine, great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We can be partakers of the nature of God in this world, in this life. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, we are free to walk with God. We are free to experience the blessings of God. We are free to know God and walk with God and understand God. We've had a couple of last night talking to his brother and other conversations that, you know, this over this past Christmas, without going into detail, had two different people in two different places. And groups of people having these conversations, you know, kind of this debate. Well, you know, I just don't understand. Was Jesus born on Christmas Eve or was he born on Christmas Day? And it's those sorts of things that people get tied up in, the sort of questions that really burn up a lot of time and really miss the point. God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. But not all pop that bubble. Not all say, I believe that promise. Not all, and I don't think any of us claim all of them. But in thinking about this, has God ever given? Now, here is Peter's statement that it's an all-inclusive all. Okay, it's an all-inclusive promise, and this is to mankind. This is to the world. God has given the promise of eternal life to whosoever believes. But he has not given the promise of eternal life to those who don't believe that promise and embrace that promise. Has God ever given you a personal promise about something in your life and asked you to believe it, challenged you to believe it in the face of whatever circumstances you're going through that's not in the Bible? I mean, a very personal promise. And I got to thinking about this, how many promises God has made me, me, that are not in Scripture, that are not, they're not unscriptural, but they're literally, God has said, here's one of these exceeding great and precious promises, here's one of these all things, and here's some I have for you. Do you believe this? Do you believe that? And I got to thinking of how many times and really how my life and the blessings that God has given me in my life are a result from believing a specific promise. It's not mentioned in Scripture. It's a personal promise from God to me. One that I'll share is very early on in my Christian life. That's, again, not just a personal part of my life, is when I became a Christian, when Barry and I started walking with the Lord and seeking and pursuing the things of God and growing in the Word, it was in a time back in the mid-70s. And there's lots of talk, and there are books written. One of the books that was instrumental in my salvation, one of the books of great interest was Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, where he talked about the end times and signs. And it was like reading the newspaper back then, how many things he was saying were things that were taking place, or things very similar to those things were taking place back then. And it persuaded me, well, if the Bible says that, and that was... those things are prophesied, and I can see them happening and taking place and forming before my eyes. It played part in persuading me that there is a God and that Christ is the Lord. And so we began walking with the Lord in a time when we believed, because there were dates thrown out there. The Lord's coming in 1983. The Lord's coming in 1988. The Lord's coming very soon. And I remember working, I'd gotten out of the university, I started a job, and I was thinking about these things. And I remember just going about my work, and it came to mind. I said, Lord, I know you're coming soon. I don't know if I ever shared this or not. I said, but I'd like to have a child or children before you come. I don't know why that came out, but I'd never really voiced that. And he said, you will have children. At that point in time, I never imagined having more than one. I never imagined there being enough time to have more than one. I never imagined having three. I never imagined having 9 grandchildren. Because I thought the Lord was coming. And he is coming. But he gave me that promise and fulfilled it. And there's many other promises. I would not be standing behind this pulpit. I would not be preaching the word. I would not have had the life, the start of my 45th year as pastor here. I would not have had that 44 years of walking with God and partaking in the things that have made up my life unless I had believed a promise. A promise. I popped that bubble and said, I believe. Yes, Lord, I will do that. I will do what you ask. I will believe what you said. I was telling this brother last night, I'd never in my life ever considered preaching or pastoring. It's, you know, I never dreamed of being an astronaut either or walking on Mars. It was that distant. But the Lord floated a promise before me. And I said yes. And he is, so the reason I am here and have been basically for 44 years is God made me a personal promise. That's not in the scripture. It says he will call pastors, preachers, teachers. But, you know, you're not going to find my name there in Ephesians 4, in that verse, including Doug. But there are promises, there are blessings that we are given by God, that we are that are presented to us by God, personal promises, that if we do not believe them, we will never take part in the blessings that result from those promises. So it's tied to faith or belief in the promises. Let's turn to Hebrews 11. The faith, we call it the faith chapter, if you would. And you find as you read through here, you know, speaking of, starts with Abel in verse 4, Enoch in verse 5. And I hadn't planned on this, but Noah in verse 7. I was telling this brother last night, we hadn't talked about 4 years, and Saturday nights aren't a good time for talk, but the Lord blessed, and so I visited with him. But we got talking about COVID and the quote-unquote pandemic and all the things that went on, and I told him, I said that I came within 3 days of losing my job because the company wanted everybody to have received the shot. I do not call it a vaccine because it does not work like a vaccine. Matter of fact, I think based on some recent news, we need to be in prayer for those that have received some of the vaccines because of the connection with untimely deaths and diseases. But I told him I received a religious exemption 3 days before I lost my job because God made me a promise. And that's what my letter, I read it here in church. I read the letter that I wrote to my company saying why I should be granted a religious exemption. And I used Noah for an example. And I bet some people maybe chuckled about that. I don't know. I said, God, when COVID was coming out and we didn't know what it was and we were aware of it, we were about, I'd say this was like in April of 2020. And it was spreading very rapidly. And I was praying about that. And the Lord spoke to me And he promised, maybe a promise. He said, you will get it. You will get over it. And you'll be able to go on with your life. You'll be fine. That settled it. 6 months later, I got it. I worked. I didn't lose any, I worked from home, but didn't miss any work hours. I took no sick leave for it. I did other physical work, like breaking up concrete with an 8-pound sledgehammer. I got very tired, so I took lots of naps. But I got over it. And I was not sick. We got the flu. Mary and I both got the flu here at the end of September. But I didn't even have so much as a cold for 2 years. I'm not saying it's related. I'm simply saying that I experienced no other illness. I have not tested positive for COVID since, or had known they've had the virus. But in this letter, I stated that I'm basing my religious exemption upon the fact that God spoke to me and told me that I would get it, I would get over it, and that I would be fine. Therefore, I have no need for the vaccine because God has promised. And I use Noah as an example. What would have happened if Noah had not believed what God said? I said, the human race as we know it today would not exist, based because God promised one person very specifically one thing. If Noah had not, verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, things that didn't exist, he moved with fear or respect to God's statement and built an ark. When it starts raining, it's too late to build the ark. When the floods start coming, it's too late to start cutting lumber. But he, being warned of God, he believed that he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. His actions proved to judge the world, and by demonstrating that there was salvation, he preached about it, he told people about it, but they would not believe that same promise. And he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That God fulfilled that promise. I'll show you how to build it. Through you, your family will be saved. Whoever enters the ark. And he gathered the animals. The world as we know. And this is, if you believe the Bible, this is fact. That every living creature that walks upon the face of the earth today is here because Noah believed the promise of God. The human race as we know it today is here because Noah believed a promise. And something that's unseen, unheard of, unimaginable. But Noah believed that promise. And he acted accordingly. He moved with fear. He acted circumspectly. He looked in all directions and said, you know, I believe God more than I believe anything else. So I used this in my letter. I got the religious exemption. It angered people, some people that I worked with. They did not take it seriously. But we're here because Noah said yes. Okay. He popped that bubble. And so, I mean, this promise was given to Noah personally by God. There's nothing preceding this that says, there'll come a day when I will call a man named Noah, and there's no prophecy he did look back on and see that Noah's fulfilling that prophecy. It required a promise from God. Well, let me look at Abraham. We'll go on here because this whole chapter, and really the Bible is filled with this example that God has given promises and gives promises. There's some that are universal in nature, that they're given to all the world and all mankind, to whosoever believes. And there are other promises that are, and really, I think the majority of the promises and the victories and the happenings of the Bible are based on God's promises to individuals. He promised that Israel would always remain a nation. They were his chosen people, and they would be established. They would not be destroyed. And we have Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones. I mean, even raising them up from dry, dead bones, God can recreate a nation. That's how powerful, exceeding great and precious the promises of God are. God does not follow the science, or Israel would not exist. The promises of God are the science that we are called to believe, that these things are true because God has spoken them, God has said them. That is our science. And that has proven to be right throughout the history recorded and documented in Scripture. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 11, we'll drop down quite a ways here to verse 33. Where after he's listed these different individuals, you know, God gave Joseph promises in his dream, in his dreams. Those were promises. And Joseph just kind of stored them in his mind, and he was ridiculed for them. But as things began to unfold, he says, this is what God told me. I see the promises coming true. Did things get accomplished in his life that got accomplished? Except he believed those dreams. But here in verse 33, speaking of these others that overcame different things and walked by faith, and speaking, referring to this, says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. These individuals obtained, and this word obtained, let's see if I can find it here in my messy notes. It means they attained those promises. They came across them. You almost, and since they stumbled across them in their walk and in their daily lives, they came across these promises. They obtained personal promises. Through faith. By faith in those promises, they obtained those promises. There were promises open to them because they believed God, and they believed God because he had given them promises, and they chose to believe God and stopped the mouths of lions. That's a pretty personal walk of faith. Daniel chose to believe the promises of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego chose to believe the promises of God over the threats of the fire. But Daniel, the king didn't want to put him in the lion's den. He didn't want his decree that was slipped under his nose and he signed it. He didn't want that affect Daniel. He loved Daniel. He cared for Daniel. But after he signed it, well, then here came the finger waggers, and say, well, there was David or Daniel up there. And you signed it right here. So the king was apologizing to Daniel as they're lowering him into lion's den. And said, oh, king, don't fear. Don't worry. My God is able to shut their mouths. And God shut the mouths of lions. They raised Daniel up out of there. They threw his accusers in there, and they didn't have any promises going in, and so they had no way of coming out. Quenched the violence of fire. Again, that's really kind of a reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and others. quenched the violence of fire. Remember all the fires that we had in California here this last summer, devouring homes, devouring cities. We had plenty of them here in Nebraska, just devouring everything that went before them. God can quench those fires. He can give us peace in times of storm. Promises from God, we choose whether or not to believe them every day. Is it of benefit for me to give time and place to prayer and seeking God every day or on a regular, continual basis? Is it of benefit for me to turn away from the things of the world and the busyness of the world to rather pursue the things of God? Is it beneficial for me to put my walk with God ahead of my walk or my income, my source of air, water, shelter, and food? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because God gives promises, and they're exceeding great and precious promises. And unless we pop that bubble, unless we say, I believe God more than I believe my growling stomach, unless we embrace those promises and say, God, I cannot do this. I have no food. Think of the widow and Elisha came and they were running out of food. And she chose to believe what the man of God said. She chose to believe what the promises that he made her. And she did just fine in a time of famine. Joseph saved all that area of the country from a great famine because he believed God. He believed a dream that he didn't even have. These are crazy things, things that are not known in the world, or not seen in the world, or understood in the world. They are not under, you cannot measure them by science. But you can measure them in spiritual gold once they come to pass. There are, well, this is something to me that's just really important. But we are called to believe God. And that's between you and God. And talking to this brother last night, he was talking about people that, well, you know, they really know the word of God. They really know the truth, but they're doing this and that. I said, well, they don't know the truth. They're like lawyers. Like, I got a good example. They're like politicians. They know the law. They may know the law. They may know the procedures. They may know the influences. They may know how to wield the power. But do they really know how to rule and govern and protect this country and the people of this country? Do they follow the law? How many lawyers are in jail? Knowing the law, how many politicians are in jail? Knowing the law doesn't mean that you embrace what the law says. And knowing that Jesus is Lord, knowing that God is over all, knowing the Word of God, knowing the doctrines, knowing the chapters and verses, and be able to quote all this stuff and argue an argument, as lawyers do from law, to protect those that are guilty, to cast shade and cast doubts on things that are blatantly true. It's within the law. And people manipulate the Word of God and the doctrines of God to cover great sins and to disguise them, to cloak them. He might know the Word of God, but he does not know the truth. It is better to have a little bread in quietness, as we read in Proverbs, than to eat the meat at the king's table. Because God will provide. God's promises to us as individuals are things we must embrace, we must believe, we must found our lives on them, or we'll never see the results. If you don't plant the seed, you're not going to see the crop. God has given us exceedingly abundant amount of seeds. But if they aren't planted in our hearts, if we don't make them ours, if we don't pop that bubble, if we don't say, I believe that, and I'm going to embrace that with all my being, we will never see those promises bear fruit in our lives. Because we didn't claim them. We didn't make them ours. We did not believe them. God has spoken, I believe, to every heart. He has made you promises. He's offered promises to you. A walk by faith, a stand. All I can say and testify of today is if you embrace what God has told you to do, you will receive the end and the fullness and the result of those promises. If you do not embrace them, you will never see the result of those promises. Though you enter into the kingdom of God, though you have eternal life, you have missed out on an opportunity to walk by faith and receive from God the blessings He makes and the promises that He makes to those in the world, and those who believe them receive the benefit. Those who let them slide aside or don't want them or say no to them or thanks but not now are left standing in the rain as the ark floats away, in a sense. We miss out on many, many good things that God has for us because we did not believe a promise. A promise. It's not, we get lots of promises, but the promise of God who cannot fail. With that, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the abundance of your love and grace in Christ. Father, I pray that each of us would tune our ears to hear and listen for the Spirit's leading, that when you make us and call us to a promise, and call us to something that is beyond our imagination, that we would not look at our own abilities or our circumstances or whether it's ever been heard of before, but that we would believe you with a full heart, that we might see the fullness of that promise come to pass in our lives. Father, bless our understanding in this as only you can. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 691, verse 2. Let's stand. I restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness to us is abundant. May God bless you and encourage you. If you'd like to worship the Lord and pray, please do so. Amen.